What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1 o'clock hour.
This is like, is this the song they play during like Top Gun when they're doing the volleyball
scene? This is a knockoff. This is a knockoff version.
That's what it sounds like.
It's a knockoff version. This is definitely not the actual Top Gun volleyball scene.
No, I know.
Just but, this one is titled Retro Radio 84.
Well, 80s, yeah.
84, good year.
Indeed.
Good year.
I was not alive yet.
Neither was I, Drew. Neither was I. Cody is old.
I was only barely alive as of 2 days ago.
That's right. That's right. You guys can hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. Don't forget, Sports Talk here on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I did see a little bit of news as we get closer to Sunday when I'll be locked into Red Zone and everything as well. Scott Hansen was on the McAfee show.
Shame.
He confirmed it will contain commercials. Red Zone will in some capacity. He says the new intro will be 7 hours of Red Zone football start now.
Boo.
The no fun league, you can boo the NFL for that.
It'll still be fine.
It'll still be fine. But here's the thing that you're not thinking about now. You're remembering how they snuck it in. How they snuck in like 2 minutes worth of commercials, and you're like, well, that's all it'd be. No, it won't.
It wasn't two
minutes. It'll be 45 minutes of commercials in the 7 hours.
Oh. Cody,
and you guys are all mistaken. It's going to be commercials every 10 minutes.
You know what it's going to be?
On the dot in one of the four corners.
It's
going to
be a corner box. It's going to be a corner box, and you can still watch the other seven games.
I pay for this. The whole point was I pay for the right to not have a commercial.
Yeah.
What is the thing, though?
This is a service like Netflix. I pay for the right to not be.
Well, maybe down the road, you'll be able to pay for a no commercial version somehow.
They'll have the Octobox, then it's going to go to a small screen,
correct,
and then it's going to be an Octobox with a small screen, or a small screen of Octobox.
The bigger box is going to be the commercial. The bigger scene is always going to be the commercial.
Correct.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying I don't think this is the end of the world. We all know they were going to try to monetize it more. It's very popular. Red Zone's my favorite thing on Sundays, especially when the Chiefs aren't in the noon window. It's great because I can just lock it on that. If you play fantasy football, if you bet, Red Zone channel is great. You don't miss anything. And yeah, they will have, I'm sure, an extra box that pops up for the Gillette ad for about 30 seconds, and then it goes back. It's fine. You also, though, have to admit, you
look at how much greed has ruined things.
Cody's not a Red Zone guy.
I do watch Red Zone. Sometimes
I'm not at all. I couldn't care less about this.
I said sometimes
you don't like Red Zone.
I don't watch Red Zone. I don't have Red Zone. I never have had Red Zone.
I do watch it sometimes. I said sometimes it is from a.
I'm not missing out on it.
It is sometimes overwhelming. From a senses standpoint, it's an assault on the eyes and ears at the same time.
I think Red Zone Channel.
Not every time, but sometimes.
Red Zone Channel is one of the great advances in NFL television that we've had in our lifetime.
I think they're ruining what you're calling is a great advancement with commercials.
Not only they're ruining it, they are certainly impacting
it. Making it worse.
Yeah, they're making it a little more less convenient.
Okay, so I don't watch Red Zone. Every now and then I've had it as like a trial and I'll watch it, but traditionally I don't. Yeah. How fast paced is it?
Oh, fast.
So what
I mean, yeah, I mean they're moving. That 3 o'clock slate a little slower.
Well, this is why I'm bringing it up is you're going to have a commercial where something big happens, but it's at the beginning of the commercial and a minute later after the commercials are done. You're not going to be able to go back to it because something else is already happening and you're going to miss
already. There'll already be a moment where they're like, hey, let's go back and rewind three plays. That happens all the time already. That's not a problem. Yeah,
but you'll be annoyed if it's because Buffalo Wild Wings is like, hey, you know, come try you. And look, I like, he
it's
does
in a commercial break, it ruins the immediate reaction
remember,
when you're hearing about
a
$9.99 deal at B-Dubs.
So the audio part is fair, but the actual visual, you're never going to not see, like if they're in the Octobox, like they're not going to, the game's not going away. It's audio, yeah, I think, is going to be the bigger thing and it's going to be smaller. But yeah, it's not going to be as perfect as it was. It's no longer, it was perfect before. Mm-hmm. It is no longer perfect. I will agree with that.
Okay, good. Well, at least we can agree
with
those terms.
Greed has really ruined some things, you know? It's going to ruin the NCAA tournament. It's ruining college football, some would say. It's ruining Red Zone.
I know because we were off on the holiday, we had kind of a weird start. But I thought this was a good chance for us all to react a little bit to week one of the college football slate and each give just one thing we thought was maybe one of the bigger storylines coming out of there. And I think without question, one has got to be Kalen DeBoer might only be the head coach of Alabama for 2 years. They are already talking with boosters about buyouts. It would cost $70 million to get rid of him. Are they really, really, really willing to pay $70 million to a coach? It's fascinating to me because Alabama was an unstoppable juggernaut. And this proves like anything else, it is more about coach and program fit than just coach or just program. Georgia went through this. Now Alabama's going through it, and so many others have. It has to be both in concert, or it just simply does not work.
Alabama looked awful. Absolutely horrendous.
So maybe Florida State's great. I don't know.
Effort was bad. I mean, it was an effort. It was a discipline thing, though, it seemed like.
But it's trying to figure out.
The offensive line was awful when it's supposed to be one of the best units in the country.
I just wonder, is Florida State that good now? They figured out Castellanos is now the real deal and all this. Or is Alabama that bad? And that's what we don't have the answer to. Are we going to find out a month and a half from now? No, Florida State's legit. They are a top 10 team and all that. Is that what it's going to be? Or is it going to be like, all right, that was a nice win, but it turns out Alabama stinks. They're going to win 7 games and DeBoer might get fired.
I think it's a little bit of both, I guess. But I think also it's week one and it's overreaction, mm-hmm. if you're thinking of that. Yes. Like, I think Alabama is going to be fine. I think they'll figure it out. But to your point, Cody, Alabama has been so good for so long, it feels like their fan base has million-dollar expectations every single year. Get to the playoff, win the SEC. Like, getting to the playoff almost isn't good enough, I would say, for Alabama at this point because of what they've had.
Minimum when you're Alabama.
Correct,
yeah.
Where they've got these million-dollar expectations, and that game is like you got a $1,000 payout for your expectations. It was not good. It was unacceptable, where we'll have to see how it goes. There were people who were calling out Kalen DeBoer just in terms of the leadership of getting on his players, where Coach Saban would not have stood mm-hmm. for the way that they played the game. It's not even that they lost. It's just the way that the game looked that a lot of people had an issue with.
They got to get on track in the next 2 weeks because then Georgia.
Schedule.
They got Louisiana Monroe. Then they get your Badgers. They'll beat them, you know. They'll beat the Badgers.
At this rate, who knows?
Have number 4 Georgia before Vandy, Mizzou, and then Tennessee. So
I don't think you ever told us. How was the Badgers game?
It was a ton of fun.
That was your first game?
The first official football
game. Did you jump around?
Oh, of course.
I've got
a video.
It
was great.
Cody, last week I was trying to explain to him. He's like, I have never heard. Was that a big tradition? I go, it's well known.
Oh, it's a top 10 tradition in college football.
Really,
I think it just got voted top 10.
I think some of it might just be that, like, when I watch college football, I just watch for the, I don't watch like the stuff before or after. Like, I don't catch a lot of the additional talk. I kind of watch College Game Day. Like, you know, so like, I think I miss some of that stuff.
Jump around looks like it'd be a ton of fun. Like, it looks like it'd be a ton of fun. I saw, did you get video of yourself doing it?
I did, yeah. Yeah, yes. I've got a video of it. They had like a light show and everything like that. They did a giveaway. They're doing a giveaway again this week as well for the game.
What was your takeaway?
We're not going back down. We're not going down the giveaway t-shirt route again. We're not derailing the final hour of the show.
No, I know. I'm not trying to get there.
Look, I think we all were focused on Ohio State, Texas. It was the game of the weekend heading in. I'm not saying it was the best game, but just that was the headline game. And Arch Manning going in that environment was always going to be tough, but admittedly, he looked like a kid that has never experienced anything like that before. I was not impressed. I think he ultimately will be fine, but the Heisman favorite and all that clearly was a mistake. He should not have been the Heisman favorite going into the season. Ohio State defense is legit. I picked Ohio State to repeat as champs, so they got to get better on offense as well, but I was very impressed with Ohio State's defense again. They, to me, had as good of a shot once again to win the title as anybody, and nothing I saw last week that makes me think that's not the case. For Texas, it's just, hey, is Arch Manning going to get better as the season goes on? I'm guessing yes. I think they'll be fine. But yet again, you know, it's Texas, and these big marquee moments, can Sark deliver? And so it's another coach that we're talking about here. Can he deliver in the biggest moments? And that was a really, I think, poor performance as an offensive play caller too, to help out really Arch bad. Throughout the game.
Yeah, so it didn't. There were moments where
so dink and dime. Particularly,
they had the ball inside the five, I think, and they ran it all four times. They didn't, and I think there's a level of, I don't know if he was trying to protect him, what it was. I do think, in fairness, again, going back to the Alabama point as well, I think Texas is going to be completely fine. Ohio State might have the best defense in the country. They got the best player in college football in Caleb Downs. I feel like they're going to be okay. It's just he just didn't have a very good game. It looked like he was trying to do too much, I think, is the best way I could describe it. Like the one play where the ball hit the receiver's hands, but it was behind him. Arch tried to he sidearmed the throw. It didn't make any sense, some of the decisions he made. He was underthrowing a couple of passes. That one that got picked, the other one ended up not. It was a penalty on Ohio State. So overall, I would say it's an overreaction, but I think there is room for concern where if that play doesn't amp up a little bit when you're facing, again, with Texas, you're in the SEC, you're not facing an ACC or a Big 12 schedule, no offense to those conferences, but you're facing an SEC schedule where you play the big dogs, if you will, you got to be better than that if you want to be a top five seed.
For all the hype and I watched all of it, but it was a boring football game to watch. Because both offenses for a while were
it was
doing
not a
anything.
Fun game at all.
I didn't think
close does not equal good. We've talked about this as it relates to the NFL or college basketball or others.
Julian Sayin was fine, but you have Jeremiah Smith. I think it was a little bit of a weird game, I guess is the best way I would describe it. It didn't feel like a...
Finally had the one long touchdown to Tate for 43 yards or whatever it was.
It didn't feel like it didn't match the hype for the game, certainly.
What's your biggest takeaway, though?
Man, I would say the biggest one is I think Miami might be really, really, really good.
They got talent.
I know that they almost blew it late, but offensive line-wise, they can protect Carson Beck.
And
let him wheel and deal. I think the defense, if you look at the offensive line and the defensive line, those are two units for that team that can win the whole thing. Like their defense is really, really good. I think they can cause some problems. That I was a little bit not surprised. I was impressed with how well they played against Notre Dame. I know it was at home. It looked like the environment was rocking too. I know that traditionally Miami doesn't, since the stadium is so far away from campus. They had Michael Irvin going nuts on the sidelines. Like I think it was a really good, impressive performance from them. I also think Utah looked really good, too. We'll have to follow them in the Big 12 a little bit.
I'm not saying that it's 100%. There's way more time needed, probably like even a decade to make this decision. I do think it is a story worth following that in the last two champions have not been SEC after they run it. NIL shows up, and all of a sudden, the SEC teams don't look as much as they're the only teams who run the show the time.
Yeah,
I think that there is something, like, that was a major storyline for me in the sense that, like, you know what? Some of these SEC teams look vulnerable or more vulnerable than they did for 15 consecutive years. Big Ten looks to be as good of a conference as them, and that was not the case for a while. Big Ten can try to claim that, but the SEC ran the show for 20 years in college football. They were the only champion. They were consistently the champions outside of those things. Not the only, but like they 80% or whatever. I think if NIL continues and the balance of power continues to equalize, I do think if for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to happen, the Big 12 got a national champion this year, or the ACC in Clemson. won the national, probably not. They lost in week one, right?
Yeah, they lost to LSU, but let's say Miami.
LSU's supposed to be really good. Miami.
Like Miami, yeah.
If we get a third straight year of no SEC champion, I'm going to think NIL has something to do with that.
I mean, Penn State's got the best roster there. That's why I think one of the things that's so fascinating is how teams are using their rosters now. Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to keep your players and you're going to use NIL to keep the guys who you recruit? Or you're going to go and get talent elsewhere or a mix of both, however it goes. I do think it is interesting. Somebody mentioned this. I think it was it Nick Wright? I think Nick Wright mentioned this as well as others for Arch. It's mainly the Manning name, but like Trevor Lawrence came in and played right away. Other guys have come in and played right away. Arch sat behind Quinn Ewers for two seasons. And I understand that I think Sark wanted to stick with Quinn, even though there's some ups and downs, but Arch is going to be good. I think it's just going to take, our expectations of him coming in immediately and being that guy, maybe because he's a Manning, might be a little bit far-fetched compared to other guys who have come in the college football system here recently.
Yeah, if his last name was different, he would not have been the preseason Heisman favorite. And look, maybe his grandfather was correct that he's not going to enter the draft because maybe he's not going to be ready. But it's one game. I don't want to act like we now just know what the rest
100%.
Of it.
Yeah, don't overreact to it.
But yeah, it was not good. You know. And then you have guys like, we talked about, you mentioned Utah, TCU on Monday night. Their quarterback looked great. Hoover looked like incredible. He should be a Heisman candidate
really
for
good,
one
yeah.
game. But we also think North Carolina stinks. So all this gets sorted out.
You're bad. Oh.
Thanks, way Kirk. He says that.
Thanks, Kirk.
It's the way he says it.
Groan at the end.
I still think, again, I played it the other day. I don't know. The Kirk Herbstreit groan or Cody's, I'm not sure which is more uncomfortable.
I think it's his.
I don't know if it's that or if it's Kirk.
I'm going to say. I think it's Kirk's.
I think it's Kirk's too, but Cody's is funnier.
Yeah.
It's definitely Kirk's.
His is worse.
It's
so guttural.
Come up in about 15 minutes, we had Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, join us earlier today. We got his perspective on the Chiefs. You might be surprised what Ross had to say about the Super Bowl this year and his pick based off of the years we've had him on this show. Sometimes people have called him a Chiefs hater. But he was, I think, fairly optimistic, to say the least, about the Chiefs. So, you know, that conversation coming up in about 12 to 15 minutes again here on Cody and Gold. We're going to find out at 2 o'clock today what Carrington's reasoning is. Mm-hmm. But for those that are just tuning in for the first time, yesterday Carrington threw a bunch of shots my way. Lies.
Unnecessarily.
Lies.
Because MUKU week.
It is hate week. It is border war week. I get it. He's an MU guy. I'm a KU guy. I get it. Fun trash talk. There were just some lies spewed yesterday. I had texts from people. Carrington was claiming he
offered
me. Your
7-year-old nephew.
My nephew called me to say, hey, did you really turn down tickets and you're afraid to go to Columbia? I had to talk to my nephew.
I hope you straighten the. You say, "Hey, no, I'm not afraid." I don't know who's saying that about.
I said that CDOT guy lies all the time. Is what I said.
So you told your nephew.
I did, but Carrington said he offered me tickets and I turned them down. And today during a break, Carrington came in here. I said, "I'll take the tickets and parking pass." And he said, "You're not going anyway." He doesn't have any tickets to offer me. He didn't have a parking pass to offer me.
You're saying he totally made it up.
You're saying he's a liar.
That's 100% a lie. I did not say no because I don't want to go to Columbia. I probably can't go to Columbia, in all honesty, because I have a show to do in the morning. But if he would have offered me free tickets and a parking pass, I might have found a way. I might have found a way to go to Columbia this weekend. But in general, I don't want to spend much money in the city of Columbia, Missouri, quite honestly. I really don't.
Somebody who most people would just save it for when the game's in Lawrence.
You guys know this. I went to the University of Kansas. I'm not a big fan of Columbia, Missouri. Just like you as a Missouri guy may not be a big fan of Lawrence. Same thing. Although
the amount of time he spends in Lawrence, but he's
Carrington,
a huge fan of it.
As I said earlier, Carrington did not go to Mizzou. I paid tuition at Kansas. I went there.
You're still paying, probably.
Kansas. They technically got the money. I'm paying the loan provider. But KU got my money a long time ago.
Sure.
But yes, I am still paying. Thank you very much.
Aren't we all?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be paying for a long time. But yeah, so lies from Carrington. And then last night he was at the Royals game and we're waiting for the video still. But if you're watching the video stream, you can see the photo. He was on the kiss cam at the K. Now, Vern seemed to defend him a little bit. Felt like
he said he played it cool.
But Carrington got denied by whoever he was next to on the kiss cam.
I'm ready to hear his explanation.
Some people were speculating that it was his sister. Based on the words he said in this studio, it didn't seem like that's what he was saying.
Vern said it might be his friend, like a friend, like they're both friends.
Yeah, and then he tried to play it cool, and he said, "Oh, I don't care if the photo's out there," but then made it seem like maybe it wouldn't be great if it was on social. And I'm like, but why? And also, I would have to know his stance on the entire, you know, Coldplay situation
before he talked about the Coldplay thing on his show.
Was he doing bad things in public? You're at your own risk.
I think so.
I don't know what to tell you. You were like his camp in a public space.
Can we say, he told us that. He wouldn't tell us. He said the person he was with would rather the video not be made public. So who was this person?
On stream, it was okay, but the
very peculiar.
Yeah,
saying that, but like I got to be honest.
Do we have another Coldplay incident where it's like, is that we need to find out more details? Is this person?
Do we have? I mean, because we know Carrington
single.
I don't know.
Jeez, that's a.
I don't know. I'm just saying. We don't know the details.
I'm just saying if Carrington was pro, that guy getting busted at the Coldplay concert, he got nothing to say about this photo or video or anything that exists. You're just on your own on that one now. Drew, you at the end of the Coldplay thing had switched.
Yeah, you
no
flipped.
Longer wanted these. This couple.
You
weeks
thought
photos.
It was bad that people were talking about at the end. So I don't know where you're at now.
I told Carrington I respected his opinion, and if this individual did not want it out, then
you wouldn't put it out.
I did make a clip for social. I'm still waiting to hear from him if it's cool to put it. I want to put it out.
That's the boss. It's the boss's call. We work in radio. The whole like Coldplay thing doesn't really apply to us anyway. We work in radio. If Cody does something at a Royals game or public, it's out there. If
you,
I do it, it's
Cody's
just out there.
Own.
It is. Yeah, I
mean, public facing job. You just run a bigger. You run an even bigger risk. Those were just two people who happened to be the CEO and the, I don't know, the HR director of a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
it. I'm just wondering, the person he was with, he can clear this up very quickly. Based off of yesterday's lies, though, I don't know what the truth will be, you know?
What do you think? So you got to get to your car quick, because you got to hear what he's saying at 10 o'clock on you.
Wait, that also is the thing, though. Hang on. So since his reputation is that, are we sure that he's actually going to say what?
Here's my
the
guess.
Truth is at two. Like, are we sure that we can believe it?
He's already established a lying pattern as it relates to this.
Exactly. So you shouldn't take
it
as
a little fearful.
Truthful.
We have. I'll say this right now. Let's speak for ourselves for a minute. Alex and I, to this point, have only spoken in facts. Carrington was at the game.
Yep.
He was on the kiss cam, and I was told it was described as he went for the kiss and did not receive a kiss. I didn't say on the cheek or the lips or the forehead or whatever, you know,
just didn't get one at all.
That he just did not get one. I am vetting the video in which someone says they'll send it to me, but they have to, you know, like they got to get into the stadium and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, ideally by tomorrow at the latest, we will have access to the full video.
Text line says he's going to be a spin doctor. Yeah. I can't wait to hear the spin on this at 2:02. I can't wait to hear the spin on this whole thing.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah. Someone says do a parody of Shaggy's. It wasn't me.
One me.
So we'll see what he has to say about it. Again, I was just defending the show. He did make up some stuff about you. I've been around the. I don't think he'd offered you a ticket.
No, even the boss said Carrington, when you guys were talking, Carrington never once offered you a ticket and a parking pass, and Rob just went along with it yesterday too. Rob knows better. No ticket was ever offered.
You know,
there were four or five lies in that 2-minute clip we played earlier from Carrington.
Honestly, in like 60 seconds, it was an impressive speed. Well, all I'm saying is that we've done nothing but tell truths.
That's right.
Do I know for a fact that this is or is not his sister? I do not.
And Carrington's not wearing any Royals gear. That's a whole other topic. He's at a Royals game. No Royals gear in the photo. In the
he
video.
He was also throwing shade. I will say
no
this.
No Royals gear at all. You're going to a Royals game. There's not a single Royals bit of clothing on.
He was throwing shade at the attendance as well, saying it was pick your own row at the K-Day.
That's why he got picked for Kiss Camp, because there's nobody else to pick.
I'm probably going to get myself in this fight, even though he had told me earlier he was, you know, like he had started it with you, but to this point, I had no dog in this fight. I'm not claiming to be the most stylish person on the planet. I would describe Carrington's style of what are the two slightly wrinkliest things in my closet that I can put on first. And so this t-shirt and khaki pant combo seems like that's what the Royals thing, though. Had he been in a Royals shirt, it'd have been there. We'll see.
We will find out around 2 o'clock when Carrington addresses the situation at hand. Up next, we'll get to what's
trending. The anticipation is building.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. We'll also have our conversation with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He told us the Super Bowl pick. I think it'll surprise a lot of
you. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
View next.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, Royals in action tonight against the Angels. Game 2 of this series, it'll be Burgert on the mound against Dana. Obviously, Burgert has been sensational since being acquired by the Royals from the Padres organization. Vern's On Deck show is at 5:30. Gotta have this one. I know we say it every night, but like it's kind of like the White Sox last week. And I know the Angels are a little bit better than the White Sox, but still, you got to win this series. So now you've put pressure on yourself. There's 24 games left. You got to win these next two starting tonight.
Next up on What's Trending, the Chiefs officially rule out Jalen Royals, who did not travel with the team today as they head towards Brazil. Media availability for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will be tomorrow around 11:20. We'll carry that live right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, pregame coverage starting at 4 o'clock on Friday with Joshua Briscoe handling the reins. But yeah, no Jalen Royals. He's not going to travel. They still not placed him on IR, so you'd think he'd be available sometime in the first month. Otherwise, I would argue they made a mistake in not putting him on there, although you can only dress 51 players anyway, which has never, ever, ever made any sense to me. You have a 53-man roster and then arbitrarily decide that two people don't get to wear a jersey that day. Why? Just let him put a jersey on. Who cares?
Other news in the NFL, according to Adam Schefter, the Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs and Taylor Guyton, both who had knee injuries, are off the injury report, expected to play tomorrow night in Thursday night's opener against the Eagles. On top of that, the big injury news of the day for the New York Jets, they fear, and now it's confirmed it looks like, that their guard Elijah Vera Tucker suffered a season-ending torn tricep. He is getting
second
opinion, but it is the second time. Yeah, he's had that injury. Also went down with the same injury back in 2022, opposite arm, so that brutal luck for a team that's already not expected to do much in 2025.
Tough for Justin Fields to try to look the goods. If he could barely get on the field last year ahead of Russell Wilson, he gets the starting job and a good payday from the New York Jets. But unfortunately for him, now we'll not have a starting guard. Lastly, on What's Trending Stream East, some of you are probably familiar with it, although don't tell maybe your lawyer. The world's largest illegal sports streaming platform has been shut down, according to the leading United States-based anti-piracy organization. The network of 80 unauthorized domains generated 1.6 billion combined visits over the past year, providing free access to global sports fixtures. It's one of the largest illegal streaming platforms on the planet. It is, at least for the time being, been shut down.
That is what's trending. Yeah, I guess that site, now people just move on to the next site. I mean, that's kind of how this works, right? Like, they're never going to catch up.
Illegal streaming's up, like, by the hundreds of millions over the last year. You know, who knows? People have been finding some... I just saw the stat. It's like 250 million last year or something. Or maybe it was 250 billion, whatever it was. It was up from 250 to 400 between the years. So,
well, illegal
streaming,
it's because
went up. They decided to go after streaming. It's because part of it.
Streaming's gotten easier, and it's also more expensive, too. So people are trying to find methods to watch it illegally. But eventually they're gonna shut down these sites, and then people just migrate to the next site and just keeps going. But yeah, Stream East. We've heard a lot about Stream East over the last couple of years from Text Line. Anytime we talk TV networks and watching games and things like that. All right, earlier today, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joined us. Of course, check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And these insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. We started our conversation with Ross just asking about the start of this football season, how excited we are to have him back on the show each and every Wednesday here in 2025.
Yeah, that means it's football season. What's up, boys? You guys ready to rock and roll or what?
Yeah, we're fired up, man. We got to get to the important stuff right out of the gate. You're from Philly area, from the Philly area. Obviously, you do Eagles preseason as well. We talked to you around the Super Bowl. But the big news is whether or not are you expecting a wedding invite for the Swift-Kelce wedding?
No, I don't think so. That would surprise me. Although I was joking, like I'm decent friends with the father of the bride and the best man. So I'm probably on the C list. If they have a lot of people that turn down on the A and B list, I don't think that's going to happen. But no, I mean, look, I'm thrilled for them on so many different levels. And I think it's fantastic, but no, I think you gotta be friends with either the bride or the groom. It's not enough to be friends with the best man or the father of the bride. You really gotta be with the bride or the groom. So I think I'm pretty confident I will not, in fact, be getting invited.
If you do, if you get a plus one, can I come along, or you know, what do you think?
Cody, you're like the 37th person that's already asked me that.
All right. Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
My sister, everybody. First of all, I'm not getting invited. Secondly, even if I did, I don't think I'd get a plus one. Third, if I did get a plus one, just so you know, if it wasn't my wife, she would cut a body part off. And I'm not sure which one it would be, but she would kill me. So, like, no.
Ross, let's talk a little football, I guess, other than the wedding stuff. In our perspective from the local end is that the national media has decided the Chiefs lost one game and got their ass kicked in the last game, and so everyone's decided they're much worse or punished more for getting to the last game but losing badly than being a team that succeeded more than just about every other team in the NFL. Do you think the Chiefs' drop-off is real based on that, or do you think that people are just remembering the last time they stepped on a football field?
Remembering the last time they stepped on a football field. I am, I guess, the opposite of the rest of the media. You know, you guys said it. I have a betting show, the Even Money Betting Podcast, which is very popular. And 2 weeks in a row, my co-host, who's a professional handicapper, he has the... he thinks it's a good bet to bet on the Denver Broncos to win the NFC West. You know, obviously it's a little bit of a longer shot, but he thinks it's pretty good value. Guys, I'm going the entire opposite way of everybody else. You know, if anybody listens to my show, the Ross Tucker Podcast, I think you mentioned Alex. I did my predictions a couple weeks ago. I not only have the Chiefs winning the AFC again, I have them winning the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs, I don't think their record will be as good because I don't think they'll continue this insane streak of one-score games. Their record might even be a couple games worse. I think they're going to be a better team. Yeah, I think we lose sight of the fact that they didn't have Rashee Rice, you know, that Hollywood Brown was banged up, you know, Pacheco was banged up. Obviously, the left tackle situation was not good, to say the least, with Joe Tooney out there. I mean, it's like people forget all these things that happened. For the last 10 games of the year, they're going to have Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Rashee Rice out there at the same time. I have it on very good authority from multiple people, some of whom I might have already referenced, that Travis Kelce is in phenomenal shape and is going to have a big-time year. And wants to finish this thing, if this is in fact his last year, on a high note. I've got tremendous faith in Spags on the defensive side of the ball, and I have. And I think that there's supreme motivation in particular from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to make up for what happened in that Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win it.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. You mentioned the offensive line issues last year. We now know Josh Simmons is clearly the starting left tackle. He was available during camp. Didn't have any injury setback or anything like that. I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch him at all. Maybe you watched him in college. What do you make of him? Because people are very excited here in Kansas City thinking perhaps they found Mahomes' left tackle for the rest of his career.
Well, they should be very excited. I can tell you this. I called multiple games for Simmons when he was at San Diego State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember looking at him and then watching him play, and I was thinking, how the heck did this kid get to San Diego State? I mean, he was like a freshman, 6'6", 315, looked awesome, moved well. I was like, this is like the best offensive lineman in the Mountain West already as a freshman. I was doing games out there in San Diego. Then he goes to Ohio State. He's obviously very gifted. You know, it's fascinating because the Chiefs took Simmons, and I think that's going to be a major upgrade at left tackle over what they had really the last couple years. The Eagles took Jahad Campbell, okay, who – you know, a lot of people thought was a top five, top 10 player in the draft, but he fell because of injury. One of the things I've noticed is that the GMs with more security, job security, and better teams, they're more willing to take chances with guys that have injuries like Simmons or Jahad Campbell than others are. And it pays off big time. I mean, these are like top 10 guys in the draft that they got at 31 and 32 because he didn't. And we'll see what happens. But, I mean, guys, you think about the Eagles. Landon Dickerson didn't go until the second round because he was injury prone, and he's a Pro Bowl left guard. Last year, Cooper DeJean didn't go until the second round because he was coming off an injury and whatever. I mean, the Eagles have kind of feasted on some of these guys, and the Chiefs have to some extent as well.
When you look at what they've got coming up on Friday, where are you on Justin Herbert? There's no doubt that if you created quarterback skills in a lab, he'd have most of them. But I can't get past the fact that there's like a missing element and that he's 2-11 against the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills, which means he never beats the teams way better than him. And I don't know. It just feels like there's something off about the way he plays quarterback that you almost can't put your finger on. Normally, I just boil it down to like he's not a killer or he doesn't have that instinct or whatever it is. Where are you on Herbert?
Yeah, so I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And there's nothing wrong with that, and that's a tremendous thing to be and for a team to have. He knows this. I've talked to him about this. Like, He needs to find a way to will his team to elevate them to win more big games and to win playoff games before he should be discussed as a top five guy. Now, in fairness, like, every year his O-line gets decimated by injury, and it happened again already this year with Rashawn Slater, an all-pro left tackle, done for the year. And then even like last year, I mean, his best receiver was Ladd McConkey. I mean, there's a lot of times not a lot of dudes around him. It's funny, he went from like putting up huge numbers with good receivers, but they couldn't win, you know, close games late when he had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Then last year they were like the opposite. They could play D, they could run, but they could run the ball better, but they didn't really have the weapons on the outside. It's like, as a team, they kind of can't put it all together at the same time. And I don't really know. They don't look to me like they've done it this year either. I mean, I think they'll be kind of what they've been.
Title contender-wise in the NFL, are there four teams, six teams? How many teams do you think, and who are they, that can legitimately go and win a Super Bowl this year?
That's a really good question. In the AFC, I think it's just the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens. You know, I can't see the Texans taking that far of a step. I guess I would say if there's a team that can crash the party in terms of, you know, getting to the AFC Championship game, I would say it is the Denver Broncos. You know, if Bo Nix takes another step, they have a really good O-line. They have a really good defense. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to ever beat MVP caliber quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Mahomes. I think the Broncos are kind of the next team that could do it, but I don't really see anybody else in the AFC. I mean, you can make a case for the Broncos or the Bengals or maybe the Texans, but I'm not doing it. I don't see those teams winning three playoff games. I don't see them beating teams like the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs back-to-back. NFC might be a little bit more open, but I really have a tough time picturing it being anybody ultimately other than probably the Eagles and the Packers at this point. So I would say five teams. You know, the Lions would surprise me after losing Ragnow and those new coordinators. You know, this trade that the Cowboys just made, that might have changed everything.
That's insane.
Right? I mean, you know, you're talking about I think is the best defensive player in football. And there's a lot of statistics out there that he's like a generational defensive player. When you think of his pressures, the pressures he gets versus double teams, you know, what the Cowboys defense is when he's on the field versus off. You know, I think maybe I referenced this. I don't know. I talked to a million people, but on the betting podcast, the Even Money betting podcast, he also said that he's a sports handicapper, my co-host, Steve Fezzik. Micah Parsons is worth a point and a half on the point spread every game he's in, for no matter what team he's on.
Wow, that's insane
for
a defensive
player. Cowboys just lost. That's what the Packers just got. That's as high as I've ever heard for a non-core. A point and a half is huge, huge for one player. To make that much of a difference, that is gigantic. And the Packers just got – and I already thought the Packers were going to be good, right? So now I think Packers and Eagles probably co-favorites in the NFC.
When you look at – just out of curiosity, did Jerry Jones also personally negotiate or try to negotiate your contract with the Cowboys?
No. Jerry Jones only talked to me a couple times, but that's okay. That was more than Daniel Snyder, who talked to me exactly zero times. And I was an exclusive rights free agent. So they said, here's your $375. And I said, thank you, sir. May I have another? And I took it. And then, when they cut me, I talked to Parcells and I said, you're cutting me after minicamp? And he said, well, listen, I know all the CEOs of all the firms on Wall Street. I'm like, dude, I went to Princeton. I don't need a Wall Street job. I can get that. I want a job in football. Thank goodness he did that, because I went to Buffalo and had the best 3 years of my career. So that ended up being a major, major blessing in disguise.
That was Ross Tucker with us a little bit earlier today on the show. He joins us each and every Wednesday during the football season. Good to have Ross back on the show. And how about that? I'm sure you guys are surprised based on the last couple of years.
I'm
he's been known
surprised,
as a little
yeah.
bit of a hater. He says, no. He has the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl.
I think it's good right now how healthy they are. It's just all a matter of will they still be that way by the time Rashee Rice returns? Because I am a believer in their original plan on offense. That Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, a refreshed Travis Kelce with Hollywood Brown and the other weapons available to them makes for one of the better offenses in the league if you can keep Patrick Mahomes upright. And if Simmons is the goods, yeah. And the early reports certainly indicate him looking pretty good in that department. If he's the goods, there are and should be very high expectations for the offense. And if they go back to being that offense, the defense will be more than good enough to be a Super Bowl contending, Super Bowl winning caliber team again. Plus, they've already been to 3 Super Bowls in a row. Why not make it 4? You know, we'll make our official predictions tomorrow as the season and gets underway. NFL is back tomorrow night.
Yeah, Cowboys, Eagles. I mean, what the funniest
I'm
NFL
to come home
line.
Right after school.
Oh, that's right. You have a class.
Maybe in class 10 minutes early.
The funniest NFL start would be if somehow, I don't think there's any chance of it happening, but could you imagine if the Cowboys, after all this, somehow Jerry Jones, the Cowboys go and win in Philadelphia on Thursday night. Jerry Jones will be holding court like he won the Super Bowl or something.
Oh, man.
And it'll be amazing.
He'll hold a parade through downtown Dallas.
There's part of me that, as much as I think the Cowboys are obviously a complete joke, there's part of me that would love for the Cowboys to go into Philly tomorrow night and get away.
Theater. That's why live sports are so great. Because it's a non-zero possibility that something like that happens.
Somehow it's Kenny Clark who they traded for, who the Packers traded, gets the sack on Jalen Hurts as well.
Oh, man.
Is it part of the trade?
That would be absolutely something. Absolutely something. Please. Honestly, it's just
how
it's
many
more
drops
entertaining.
Do you think would come
I still
from
don't
that
like
conversation?
Sirianni.
No, so many.
Like post game,
you said what about Sirianni?
I said I don't like Sirianni.
Oh, I don't like him, but yes, he does.
Not
he
that
has
I love
to get
Jerry
some,
Jones.
He has to get some credit. I mean, the guy has gone to 2 Super Bowls and won
it's
one.
Not that I don't like him as like an individual, not as a as a football coach. We do our coach rankings tomorrow. He'll be above Sean McDermott.
Yeah, he should be.
I mean, he's been to 2 Super Bowls.
So he should be my only
100%.
My only pushback on Sirianni is. What does he actually do?
Gets protected by Big Dom.
Like what? No, like seriously though. Like what does he do? I can like all
he
these other
call plays.
All these other coaches that you're going to have in the top 10, you can point to, and most of them,
the thing that makes them them.
So, yeah, and so one thing I'll say is Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin's obviously defensive. Nick Sirianni's just like a manager.
As time goes,
he's just
on,
a
though,
manager.
As time goes on, I actually think that's more of the job. It used to be that you did all of you were
in
GM
college,
and a coach and
this
and all that
college,
other stuff. I think it's going to work more and more towards that, I guess.
I think in college I want that. I mean, that's why you have the GM position now at college campuses for football programs and all that and basketball programs. In the NFL, I've always like in general, I want my head coach to be an offensive mind that's calling the plays. That's just how I would operate as a franchise. But yeah, I get what you're saying a little bit.
I'm curious. Should we be putting Nick Sirianni in that same conversation as Dan Campbell, though, where he doesn't have Kellen Moore? All of a sudden, like, is the offense?
Oh,
it does the
worry
I mean,
about the offense.
Yeah, I mean,
Steichen
I
left a year ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he's gone through an OC change before,
and they won the Super Bowl the following year.
To
his credit as a manager, he lost his OC and they won the Super Bowl.
The first year he lost his OC in DC and they were awful. Remember, they lost to the Bucks in the wild card round. Then they brought in Kellen Moore and everything was fixed.
Yeah, they went and they fired both coordinators. I wonder if this is a similar sort of deal where let's say the coordinators don't, with Kellen Moore gone, if they don't play well again, then I think all of a sudden it's a, well, Nick Sirianni's he's the head coach, but he's not the one who's running the show.
We'll see.
By any stretch. And all of a sudden I think where you would rank him, if you will, is going to be maybe a little bit deteriorated compared to where it might have been, though he just won a Super Bowl recently.
His job is to manage the people that he is in charge of helping hire, and he is very, very, very good at that to this point. Text line says, Stefanski better be number one. If Binkley had any say in our coach rankings, he'd be number one for Binkley, you know?
What?
Drew, I was obviously being sarcastic.
Okay.
He has openly said how he hates that Stefanski. He thinks it's a mockery that Stefanski.
I haven't heard that take from Binkley.
No. I've got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Binkley has pointed
that
out
from Bink.
Kevin Stefanski has been voted NFL Coach of the Year 2 times in a row, and he likes to use that as a way to mock the process and the fact that Andy Reid can't be NFL Coach of the Year anymore because Kevin Stefanski. The funny part is, if Kevin Stefanski won 10 games this year, with whoever the hell they're starting at quarterback once
he'd be coach of the year again.
A third time.
I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone.
You would.
I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning.
I'm not saying they will win 10 games.
If the Cowboys won and he called in, would we have to designate like 5 minutes to carry his interview with these individuals on Dallas radio tomorrow, because I think it would be nuts.
Oh, if the Cowboys go
instead
into Philly
and win,
instead of
doing all 32, instead of doing NFC post-game East predictions, we just have him carried.
Yeah, Jerry Jones will act like he won the Super Bowl if they win.
Oh yeah,
it'd be great. I really do hope they win. It'd be so nice. They're major underdogs tomorrow night.
It'd be fun though.
If anything, would you say the Eagles fans deserve it potentially, just because they're?
I mean, they won the Super Bowl. They're not going to care.
They're not going to care. But I still would like the Lions came in Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs after they won a Super Bowl. Right?
I don't like watching. The Eagles be happy after Eagles they destroyed the Chiefs' hope last year.
Eagles are 8.5-point favorites tomorrow night.
Are you guys really not going to watch the open? Are you guys really going to wait until the game kicks off to not watch it?
I will not start watching
until after the ceremony.
Kickoff at 7:20. I'll start watching at 7, which will still have some of the ceremony.
Kickoff at 7:20. The TV will be on at 7:18, 19. I don't know. Maybe 20 or 21. Because there'll be some fireworks and stuff. Maybe 25 tomorrow.
That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Ross Tucker, Josh Klingler, who's in Brazil, for joining us, plus our guy Josh Vernier. Up next, it's CDOT. I can't wait to hear the excuse making off of the kiss cam after we all
found what he said about you.
What he said about me. I can't wait. Where are we listening? That's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.